Exodus chapter 20 is where we find ourselves. I hope you brought your Bible today. Do you have your Bible today? We're going to turn to several places in the Word of God this morning. It's a necessity to see all of the verses that surround the verses that we have in Exodus 20 to give a good understanding of them. And we are looking here at the fourth commandment of the ten. And we need to understand what God says about it and apply it correctly and receive the instruction from for our hearts about it. So I'm in Exodus chapter 20, and we'll start our reading in verse number 8, where he begins with this fourth commandment. The Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." All right, so we're preaching on remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now this commandment, the fourth commandment, is a little different than the rest in that it is not repeated for the New Testament church, but there is something to learn from every part of the Word of God. The first thing I want to do is I go through, and by the way, let me say this, that no one here keeps the Sabbath day. You don't. Even the people that say they keep the Sabbath day are not keeping the Sabbath day. Most people don't even know when the Sabbath day is. You say, well, yeah, it's Saturday because it's the seventh day. Well, yes and no. You know, the Bible lets us know when God counts days. You know, he doesn't start. When does your day start? So if we're going to keep the Sabbath day, we've got to know when it starts, right? When does your day start? Does it start at 8 a.m.? Now, on our calendar as Gentiles, we start a day at 12:01. Right? Y'all look at me like I just said something weird. Today's date started 1 second after midnight, right? So you already understand that a day starts in the night. Now you look real confused. I don't. Your day started 1 second after midnight. That's when the day started. But you know that's not the case. Now the Bible even lets us know that's God's order. If you look at creation, you go through the first chapters of Genesis, this is what you'll find. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Right? Not the morning and the evening are the first day. The evening and the morning are the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day, and so on. Now, for a Jew, they didn't start their day. For the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, in the Bible, they did not start their day at 12:01. They started their day at 6 p.m. So a real Sabbath day starts at 6 p.m. on Friday night and goes to 6 p.m. on Saturday night. That is still the Jewish Sabbath day. And nobody keeps that day. Even the people that say they're Sabbatarians, they don't keep that day. They definitely don't keep those times. But you know, even the nation of Israel, the people that say they're keeping it, don't keep it. Look at Exodus chapter 35. I'll never forget being over in Israel, and the Jews are still, you know, they say they're going to keep the Sabbath day, but what they do, they have token Gentiles. They have the Gentiles come do the work that they can't do on Sabbath day. But it's a very funny, hypocritical setup. But let me show you how nobody could ever keep the Sabbath. You say, preacher, I'm going to get to the commandment, all right? But in the Old Testament, when God gave this commandment, it was so intrusive to their lives that there would be no way that all of humanity could possibly keep it just because of the geography of where they live. In Exodus chapter 35, the Bible says in verse number 3, watch. Well, he repeats the commandment, verse 2 of Exodus 35. But in verse number 3, watch what the observance of the Sabbath includes. "Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day." You couldn't make a fire to cook food. Now, I know we live in the day where we have ovens and microwaves and all that. They didn't have that back then. And even so, I mean, you could not even light your gas stove on the Sabbath day. Are you reading the Bible? Ye shall kindle no fire. And not only about your food, you couldn't even kindle a fire to keep warm on the Sabbath day. Now, you think about that. You think about how that really wouldn't work in Siberia. It's no wonder that God put that on a people that are in the Middle East that doesn't have the temperatures they have in North Dakota. They couldn't make a fire. You couldn't make a fire to warm yourself. You couldn't make a fire to eat your food. That you had to stop everything on the Sabbath day. Everything. And concentrate on one thing, and that's your God. Everything had to stop. Now, not only is nobody in the world living that way today, but of course, in the Bible, God gave this for a reason. He gave this for a reason to prove a point. And this Sabbath day commandment has been misapplied, and I'll show you how. You're in Exodus still. Look at chapter 31. You said, preacher, well, then I thought, you know, certainly we have to keep all the Ten Commandments. Well, let's look at Exodus 31. You always have to compare Scripture with Scripture to understand the Bible. Exodus chapter 31, I'm going to read the Bible to you. I'll tell you what you need to do. Grab Exodus 31, and with your other hand, would you grab Ezekiel 20? Now, if you don't have a Bible, you'll probably be bored. But, I mean, what I have to say is not important. What God has to say is very important. And I want you to see what God has to say. We will not diminish the fourth commandment, but we will seek to understand it. Exodus chapter 31, the Bible says in verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, watch verse 13, speak thou also unto the who? So this is said to the children of Israel. If you didn't know that, you're not a part of that group. But anyway, let's keep reading. He says, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. Who? The children of Israel. Watch it. Look at the Bible. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. So God said the Sabbath day was a sign between him and the children of Israel. Do you see that in your Bible? By the way, if you could run that throughout the Bible, there are so many signs in the Bible that God just gave between him and Israel. The Bible says the Jews require a sign. One of the signs he gave was the Sabbath day. By the way, another sign that he gave was tongues. Tongues are given for a sign. If we preached a whole message on tongues, we would be preaching about how God was making a proving point to the children of Israel about something. Nevertheless, let's keep reading. Verse 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. He didn't say the world. He said you. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel. For it is holy unto you. Everyone that defieth it shall surely be put to death. Now notice, the punishment for not keeping the Sabbath is death. Are you following me? So I think you can understand how we are not living under this economy. Because even if somebody wanted to say, well, we're supposed to keep the Sabbath day, well, the punishment for not is you die. Don't think you want to live there. Let's keep reading. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Watch verse 16. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Do you see that in your Bible? God instituted it for the children of Israel to observe. He says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 10. The Bible says in Ezekiel 20 and verse 10, God says, wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, not the world, me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the statutes, in the wilderness, and walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. So this was part of the Jewish law that had to be observed by the nation of Israel. You say, well, wait a minute. God said that he blessed that Sabbath when he created the world. Get Genesis chapter 2. Are we tired turning yet? Okay, Genesis chapter 2 and Nehemiah chapter 9. Genesis chapter 2 and Nehemiah chapter 9. We know that in 6 days, God created everything. I believe that to be 6 literal days. Amen. Literal days. I don't believe it took God 6,000 years to make everything. It took him 6 24-hour periods. I believe that. He could have done it in one day, but he chose to do it in 6 days. And then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the 7th day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So the 7th day was blessed, because God rested that day from his creation. But now here's the truth. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Again, scripture with scripture. Nobody even knew God did that until Moses wrote about it. Watch this. In Nehemiah chapter 9. Now we know Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, right? He wrote that about 1450 B.C. And he took us all the way back to the creation, told man things that man didn't even know. And God filled him in on that. But the Bible said in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 13, look at it. He says, thou camest down, Nehemiah 9, 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai. That's the context of Exodus 20 where we are, the Ten Commandments. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Look at verse 14. And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath. In other words, they never even knew about the Sabbath until God came down to Mount Sinai and told them. Are you with me? So you say, God blessed the seventh day, when he created. Yeah, it's true. But they didn't find out about it until God came down to Mount Sinai and told Moses to write about it. That means this, that neither Adam or Abel or Noah or Abraham or Isaac or even Jacob, they didn't know anything about the Sabbath day, and they didn't any of them observe the Sabbath day. It was not until God came down to Mount Sinai and gave the law did man even know that there had been a day of rest and a 7th day that God blessed and hallowed. Nevertheless, he did. But he did that as a sign between him and the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy 5:16, it had to do with God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said, I brought you out of Egypt, therefore I gave you my Sabbath. He gave them that as a commemoration of what he did for that nation. You see, why is that important to know all those verses? Because there are some people that say that we're to keep the Sabbath today. There are people today, there's a whole church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which, by the way, was started by a woman. Her name was Mary Ellen Gould Harmon James White. That's a lot of men. By the way, another cult, a Christian Science, was started by a woman that had about that many names too, Mary Baker Patterson Glover Eddy. I'd stay away from something that a woman made that has that many names, especially when they say their writings are the same as the Scriptures, inspiration. Stay away from that. And so people in those religions seek to try to keep the Jewish law and the Old Testament law as a way of acceptance with God. And the Bible tells us very plainly in Romans 6:14, ye are not under the law, you're under grace. God never intended for us to be underneath the burden of the Jewish law that he gave for them, in the sense of all of the regulations that he only gave to the nation of Israel to be a peculiar people. You don't offer sacrifices. You don't have certain feast days that you have to keep. And that's where we get, so the Sabbath day is misapplied. Go to Colossians chapter 2. in Colossians chapter 2 is the bedrock statement of the New Testament about our relationship as Christians to the Sabbath day. Does that mean that the fourth commandment is bad? No, we're going to get to the application of it. The fourth commandment teaches us something about ourselves. And the fourth commandment is a good thing to show to others, especially lost people when you're dealing with them. But the Bible says in Colossians, because you know what? Lost people, they don't have even one day for God. They don't have 30 minutes for God. He said in Colossians chapter 2, but this is the statement of the New Testament regarding the Sabbath day. Colossians 2:16, the Bible says this, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." He says, don't let anybody judge you about Sabbath days. You're not under that law. God's blotted out, verse 14, that handwriting of ordinances that was against you. He's given you a new life. He's given you something in the body of Christ that's different than what the children of Israel had. And then what he said, that Sabbath day was a shadow of things to come. Well, what kind of a shadow of things to come was it? Go to Matthew chapter 12. Is your hand getting tired yet? Good. Matthew chapter 12. And with your other hand, get John chapter 9. Matthew chapter 12 and John chapter 9. What is the Sabbath a shadow for us to learn about? What is every verse in the Bible is for our admonition, for our example. But what am I supposed to learn from it? Am I supposed to learn from the fourth commandment that I'm not supposed to cook at 6 p.m. on Friday night? No, that's not what you're supposed to learn. What are you supposed to learn from it? You're supposed to learn something about Jesus out of it. I'll show it to you. Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says, verse number 8, great verse in the Bible. "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." In other words, Jesus Christ is Lord over all. He gets to set all the rules. He's Lord over the Sabbath day. In John chapter 9, watch what they said about Jesus. John chapter 9 in verse 16. Now Jesus, all up through his youth, he was a faithful young man, a faithful boy, a faithful child. He kept all the law. He fulfilled all the law. He did all of it. But when he stepped out on the scene as God's man, a new thing ensued. You're not dealing with God now through the law. You're dealing with God through his Son. His Son is bigger than two tablets. His Son is the God of the tablets. So if his Son wants to write new tablets, he can write new tablets. If his Son wants to introduce something different, he's able to do it because he's Lord of the Sabbath. Look what they got so mad about Jesus. People that kept the Sabbath, by the way, were the ones that crucified Jesus, you see. He said in John chapter 9, verse 16, look at it, "Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Do you see that? You say, well, that's just what they said. All right, look at chapter 5 of John. And this is not what they said. This is the commentary of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 5 and verse number 18. "Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him," watch your Bible, "because he not only had broken the Sabbath," are you reading your Bible, "but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Not only is he breaking the fourth commandment to the Jews, it seems, he's breaking the first and the second, because "thou shalt have no other gods before me," and you're not supposed to bow down, and people are bowing down and worshiping Jesus. And Jesus is God in the flesh, and he made himself equal with God. Now, oh, you broke the commandment. Listen, he's God over the commandments. He is the God of the commandments. If he didn't want to observe the Sabbath, he didn't have to observe the Sabbath because he's the one that made it.
Amen.
You see that in the Bible.
Amen.
But it's not just that. What lesson can I learn? That Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. Because now, you see, the Sabbath day, from the time of Christ till today, the Sabbath day is not a day. The Sabbath is a person. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 4? This is so wonderful to me. It really goes along with why I sung what I did this morning. What were they supposed to do on the Sabbath? Say it.
Rest.
Can do no work, right? In other words, God says, I don't want any of your works. You quit working. You stop working. I don't want you to lift a hammer. I don't want you to go outside and plow with you. You just quit working. Nothing you can do will be acceptable to me. You sit right down there and you think about how holy I am and how hallowed I am, and you just remember me and remember my day. You quit working. And all I want you to do is rest. Well, that's a good word, rest, isn't it? Rest. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, great chapter. Verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Watch verse 4, the context of all he's talking about. Us that have believed have entered into the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel. What is the context? Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Look at verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. You know what he said? If you understand that Jesus Christ now is the rest. The rest is not a day. The rest is a person. Jesus stepped out and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest what you can't get on a Sabbath day. I'll give you rest for your soul and rest for your spirit and rest for your body. He's the rest. And the only reason people don't get that rest is because they won't believe. They won't trust Christ. Their unbelief keeps them out of his rest. But the people of God that have believed in Christ, we enter into rest just like those Jews entered into a Sabbath day. My rest is in Jesus. And you know what I've done? I've ceased from my works. I'm not trying to impress God or be accepted by God because of what I do or what I don't do. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I cease from my work because all that I am is in the person of Jesus Christ. It's all of what He has done on the cross of Calvary. Let me tell you this morning, if you're here today and you don't have any rest in your spirit, if you're here today and you're miserable on the inside, if you're here today and you have no satisfaction and you don't know if heaven's your home, let me tell you what. You can come to church all you want to. You can try to keep the fourth commandment and the third commandment and the second commandment and the eighth commandment and the ninth commandment, and you'll never find the rest for your soul. The only place to find rest is in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when you find Him and when you enter into Him, you've got rest not for a day. You've got rest forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He is the rest. He is the Sabbath. You say, preacher, what else can I learn about that, though? He says back in our text in Rome, in Exodus chapter 20. Well, I tell you what I can find out of it. I'm going to try to conclude this. So what I'm trying to say is, Jesus Christ fulfilled the Sabbath, and he's Lord of the Sabbath, and he is the Sabbath. And look, I don't have one day I worship God. I worship God every day of my life. I don't have one day that's special. I've got every day that's special. I don't have one day that I can have peace with God. I have a person that gives me peace with God. But in Exodus chapter 20, the Bible said in verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. You know, the Bible tells us, Jesus told us, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That's Mark 2:27. In other words, God didn't talk about the Sabbath day so that that day would mean more to you than anything. That's what was wrong with the Jews. The Sabbath day meant everything, but God not so much. Are you listening to me? In other words, the religious observance was a big deal, but their personal relationship and fellowship with God was not a big deal. And the condition of their heart was not a big deal. As long as I keep the Sabbath, then what does it matter? What matters, everything. And Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath day. It's not that the Sabbath day is just for you to observe. He said the Sabbath day was made for you to help you. To help you do what? Quit work and stop. You know what I can learn from the Sabbath day? You don't need to work 7 days a week. You need to stop. You ought not live to work. You need a break. You need a break. You know what you need a break for? You need a break for holiness. The Sabbath day, listen, the Sabbath day was not for them just to sit on the porch and drink tea and say, oh, I'm not out in the field. No, it was a day of holiness. How many of us take a day and we concentrate on holiness? You know why man is so unholy? He is in a rat race of life and he didn't even think about God. He didn't think about holiness. He didn't think about his need of holiness. That's one thing I like about when we have family camp. We try to put everything aside and just stop and think about something godly, something holy. Wouldn't it be good if we would have that continue? Now, God knows we have to work. God knows we have to go through our life and fulfill our responsibilities and pay our bills. But there needs to be something in your life that you stop and rest. And not just rest, but think about the holiness of God and your need of Him. Quit all that stuff that's going to go away. Your garden's going to die. Your dogs and cats are going to die. You're going to be too old to work one day. Your house is going to get eat up by termites, or a tornado hit it, or blow it away, or a rot, or something will happen to it. Your cars will be gone one day. Your clothes will be moth-eaten. One day you'll be all old and full of wrinkles and in the nursing home. So why do we go through our lives, living our lives like they'll never change? God says, you better stop right now, every time in your week, and you better think about something holy, because this isn't all going to keep going this way. And all this other stuff is going to go away. Your life's going to go away. You need to think about things that are eternal. Not just your work. Not just what you own. So you need a rest. You do need a rest. But you need holiness and you need God. And that brings me to this. You say, preacher, why is Sunday so special? Sunday is not the new Sabbath day. We've already read that. He says, no Sabbath days, no holy days. I would warn you about this. Sunday is special, and I'm going to tell you why in just a second. Sunday is special. But if you think going into a church makes you holy, you're wrong. And if you think going into a church gives you a relationship with God, you're wrong. It's the person of Jesus Christ that every individual needs. Now, having said that, I'm saved every day. Every day's a rest. Every day's holy. But Sunday, why Sunday? I mean, preacher, look at these people. They definitely didn't dress to go to Walmart today. Why do we do that? And by the way, I tell our hard-working men, you know, if they have to come straight from work on a Wednesday evening, amen, you just come in your dungarees and overalls and dirt and whatever's all on you, just come, amen. We don't have a code like that. But why do we make Sunday special? Well, I'll tell you why. Go to John chapter 20. Sunday is a special day. It shouldn't really be a religious observance day. It's not a feast day. It's not a holy day. But it is a special day if you're saved. Should be. And I'll show you why. And it's sad that more and more that we live in our society is getting less and less to be that way. He said in John chapter 20 and verse number 1, look at it, the what? First day of the week. Come with Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark under the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. You do know that every gospel tells us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week. You do know that, right? Then you look at verse number 19 of John chapter 20. The Bible says, then the same day at evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were what? Assembled. For fear of the Jews came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. They began to meet on that first day of the week. That same day that Jesus came up from the dead. And Jesus, even after the resurrection, met with them on that first day of the week. They assembled together, the believers assembled together. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. This continued throughout the book of Acts and through the early church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, and upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday. You know, some people think Monday's the first day of the week. They're not only ignorant, they're godless. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech unto midnight. What are they doing the first day of the week? They're having church. They're having communion. They're breaking bread. They're hearing preaching, long preaching, till midnight. They like to be together on the first day of the week. Why? Because it's the Lord's day, as John says in Revelation 1, verse 10. It's the day He got up from the dead. And we can't assemble every day, but we want to get together as the Lord told us to get together and have an assembly and not forsake that assembly. And they came together that first day of the week, remembering the Lord's resurrection power in their life. Not only that, it continued all through the epistles. Look at last reference, 1 Corinthians 16. Why is Sunday so special? It's the day Jesus rose from the dead. It's the day the church met and heard preaching and had communion and assembled together and fellowship together. In 1 Corinthians 16, the Bible says in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Look at verse 2. Upon the what? The first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The first day of the week was when God's people got together and they gave their offerings and took up the collection. Do you see that in the Bible? That made it special. Can I tell you something this morning? the devil wants to rob you of rest in Jesus, but the devil also wants to rob you from a special day that you gather together with God's people and you hear preaching and you break bread and you fellowship and you praise God and you give your money. The devil wants to rob that special day away from you. And we're every day that goes by in our generation, Sunday means nothing. I'm not in church this morning because I'm a Sabbath keeper. I'm in church this morning because I have a risen Savior that got up the first day of the week, and His people ever since that day have been meeting on the first day of the week to give Him praise and glory and give Him their self and give Him money. That's why I'm here. I'm here for Him. As yesterday, I don't see the person that I visited yesterday. Good. Not good, but that's just the way it is. Knocked on the door, talked to him. Hey, yeah, I used to be a Baptist. Yeah, I'm saved, but I don't go to church. I'll never go to church again. Why do you never go to church? Because all the hypocrites in church, they're all sleeping with people. Man. I'm not going to go there, just a bunch of hypocrites. I said, sir, that's a mighty big... He said, they're all hypocrites. I said, sir, that's a mighty big statement. I said, you're a white man. You must be a racist. I said, you know, you can't put everybody... No, he started telling me stories. I heard of this preacher that did this. It hurts. It just hurts. Don't have anything for Sunday. Got these little kids here. They'll never know about God, never know about going to a Sunday school class. Never be able to hear the hymns of Jesus because Dad says, I don't have anything for Sunday. Hypocrites. They just want the money. Over and over and over and over. I'm too nice. I almost said, well, you say you're saved, you're a hypocrite. Because saved people are supposed to be in church, whether they like it or not. Amen. I'm not here for you. I'm here for Him. Now I want to minister to you, but I'm here for Jesus. I'm here because of what this day meant to Jesus, you see. What the church means to Jesus. And I'm telling you, that man, he has nothing for the church, and every day we go by, every day we go by. You know what the devil's trying to do in your life? He's trying to let you know that this is not a big deal. Just go home and rest. Just take your sleep. You've worked all week. You deserve a break. No, you need holiness. You know what? If we would have a right heart, holiness would be a rest to us. But I tell you what, holiness is a pain to people. Can you imagine if we did have the Sabbath and God says, you can't do nothing? You can't do anything but think about my holy. Oh, what a bore, what a pain. That's because people are wicked. And I tell you what, the wickedness of the world is not giving anybody any rest. All the toys, all the comforts, all the habits, all the hobbies has not given people rest. Oh, that we would find rest in the holiness of God, that we would find rest in the person of God, that we would find that church wouldn't be a chore to get out of, but church would be a rest for my soul. Church would be a joy. And I'm telling you, the devil's stealing that from the world. Less than 1% of all people in England go to church. Less than 1%. It's a mission field. And I'm telling you right now, if Jesus doesn't come, that's America. And that may be America, but it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be your family. Amen. And it ought to be special to you. You ought to get up in the morning and say, man, I want to meet with God. I want to meet with God's people. Can't wait till I get in that church and I can sing. Amen. Can't wait till I get there and I can put in my money. Don't get quiet on that either. I just can't wait till I get in there. It's not that we want your money. It's not we're trying. This is about Jesus. I want Jesus to have my money. I want Jesus to have a full house. I want Jesus to have people praising Him and thanking. I want people to see Jesus. And I want them to find rest in their heart. And you won't get that from a Sabbath day. But you'll get that from Jesus Christ. I think we need to move on up in that first day of importance in our hearts.